Just for a moment, we're going to think about those verses and the fact that this really is the greatest day in history. It's not the greatest day in history that's come up on the screen, but it is something that people of my generation and older will remember. I was just thinking about the most important historical event that has happened in my own life. And it's something that I remember. It's almost my first clear memory. I was 5 years old, and at the school that I was at, the first thing that they did in the morning was, instead of the normal lesson, we all went into the hall, and they were showing the moon landing, I think a recording of it, on the screen. And you just had this sense, even as someone who was very, very young, This is really exciting. This is really different. There is someone who is walking on the moon. And you might think about things that have happened in your own lifetime. It might be the Berlin Wall coming down. When people are years and years ahead, people will probably remember Brexit, something really significant that is happening. One of the things that makes it easy to remember is that it's gone on for so long. And there are things in history that we remember. Big cultural movements, big events, kings and queens, empires rising and falling. And yet this day, the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, is, we believe, the greatest day. On this day, all of history turns. It's like a hinge. And after this day, nothing is the same again. If this is true, if Jesus really is alive, it is the greatest and most wonderful day of history, the day that changes everything. And we're invited in these verses, first of all, to come and see. And earlier in John's Gospel and in our play this morning, we've been invited to see the empty cross. And we've got an empty cross here. Yesterday, Joe and I went to Fountains Abbey. And inside the abbey, there is a very, very simple wooden empty cross. Very, very powerful. And we have an empty cross. We know that Jesus died for us, but the cross is now empty. His body was laid in the tomb, but now the stone has been rolled away, and the tomb is empty as well. Jesus was there, but now he is alive. And it's just this wonderful way that it's described in John's Gospel. First of all, Mary, the first witness to the resurrection, and then Peter and John running, and John doesn't want to go into the tomb, although he's got there first. Peter goes in, and then they see that the grave clothes are still there, the heavy grave clothes that would have been wrapped around Jesus, that would have been filled with spices. The bit that binds the head is separate from the bit that binds the rest of the body. And so there are grave clothes there. They've come to the right place, but Jesus' body is gone. Never believe that Easter Sunday is the day to argue for the truth of the resurrection. It's very important that we do that, and it's very exciting that we do that. And there are many books that have been written that go through in detail the resurrection story and say, this rings true. We do need to reach out and we need to receive it by faith. But the evidence here is so strong. If people were going to make up a story, they would never have done it like this. And without going into this in too much detail, there is something, I think, about the grave clothes that is very, very powerful. If they had gone to the wrong place, then the grave clothes wouldn't have been there. If they had been making up a story, or if they had perhaps been stealing the body, or someone had stolen the body, you wouldn't do it like this. The grave clothes would have been wrapped tightly around the body. The spices would have been put in different layers. And it was heavy. And it was just so tight. Jesus couldn't have revived in the cool of the tomb and got out of this. And if you were going to steal the body, well, who unwraps the body from the grave clothes, leaves the grave clothes behind, and takes the body away? It makes no sense. And John takes a couple of verses just to describe the fact that the grave clothes are left behind and they're arranged in a certain way. What we believe happened is that Jesus was raised from the dead. The power of the Holy Spirit, the will of the Father, raising Jesus bodily from the dead. It's not that he was some thin, wispy, ghostly figure who passed through the grave clothes because he was more thin than they were, more sort of spiritual in an otherworldly way. It was a spiritual resurrection, but it was a physical resurrection. And Jesus passing through the grave clothes because he was more solid, more real, because he embodied something that was a permanent, eternal reality, something that was new and fresh and dynamic and wonderful. And this morning we are invited to come and see and believe. Notice that John did that. He saw and he believed. And they were still reaching out for faith, but they believed at that moment. And we can believe as well. And of course, they were able to see and believe. And we are not able to see in the same way. But I just want to encourage you, if you are struggling for faith this morning, if you want to have faith, if you are reaching out for faith, a little bit later, Jesus appears to Thomas. So it's a week later, Jesus appears to his disciples, and Thomas, who missed an earlier appearance, is there, and he believes because he sees. But then Jesus says something absolutely wonderful. It's verse 29 in John 20. Jesus says to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And in that wonderful, wonderful verse, Jesus reaches to us over the heads of the disciples, as it were, and says, "Yes, this man has believed because he's seen. He's been invited to put his hand into the marks of the nails, to put his hand into the side of Jesus where the spear had gone in. He has seen and he can hear and he can touch." Lots of people coming later won't have that opportunity, but for those who are able to reach out by faith and to believe this wonderful truth, then there is a special blessing, a blessing even greater than is there for the first disciples, for those who saw and believe. If you can believe this morning without seeing, then Jesus himself says, "You are blessed indeed." Come and see by faith the empty cross of Jesus. Come and see by faith the empty tomb. Come and believe that Jesus is alive. And then the final thing, very quickly, is to go and tell. And so this is the instruction for faithful Mary: go and tell. And if we have seen, if we have experienced, if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then the encouragement for us today is to go and tell. Really want to encourage us in the year ahead between now and the next Easter to be a gathering where we share our faith with others, where we invite others to events that are put on, and where by life and lip, by word and deed, we commend Jesus to friends and neighbours and work colleagues. We need to be more confident at doing this. But even when we lack that confidence, even when we don't have the words to say, God can still use us. How much did Mary know? How much did Mary understand? There is something here that is so new and fresh, and it's so surprising. They're still trying to get their heads around it, but they know that something has happened. Mary has met the risen Jesus. She knows God's power in her life. She has experienced God, and she just goes out and shares it. We need to think about how we can better share our faith. And that is so important. But Mary hadn't gone on a course. She hadn't read a book. She hadn't been in a number of sessions where she was able to answer the big questions, like questions around creation and suffering and the love of God. All she had done is experience the power of the risen Jesus. She knew that he was alive. She knew because she had seen. And for those of us who have experienced Jesus, those of us who have reached out in faith, there may be things that we don't understand. There may be things that happen in our lives that we can't explain. But we have experienced the risen Jesus, and we don't want to keep it to ourselves. Come and see, and go and tell. May we be Easter people who celebrate these things this Easter time. Just before the under fives come back in, just a few further prayers of reflection. And the "He is not here, he is risen" is going to come up. I'm going to say a few lines, and then "Christ is risen." And I invite you to respond. "He is risen indeed. Hallelujah." Lord, we thank you for this glorious day. And we thank you for the invitation to come and see by faith that Jesus is alive. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Lord, we invite you afresh into every area of our lives, your risen presence by the power of the Holy Spirit, where you want to change us, where you want to transform us, where you want to move us forward. We pray that we would be ready to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. For our friends, for our neighbours, for those that we work alongside, for those in the wider community where there is pain, where there is suffering, may we be Easter people, full of your joy, bringing wonderful resurrection hope into circumstances where there is weariness and there is sadness and there is difficulty and there is hopelessness. Help us, O Lord, show us the way, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Going to come to the close of our service now. We're going to stand to sing the great resurrection hymn, "Thine Be the Glory." Colin is already, the band are coming into place. Let's stand together and let's proclaim our Easter.